It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Speaker's Task Force on Artificial Intelligence is set to hold a public hearing Wednesday. The committee is studying the role of AI in elections, in business, government, other facets of life. And you can call in with a question, share comments at any point at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Nate Gustafson is a Republican representing Assembly District 55, includes Nina, and chairs this AI task force. Representative Gustafson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So in August, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss forms this AI task force. How will the task force develop legislation and policy recommendations to address AI?
Yeah, so putting together this task force, my number one goal has been about education. A lot of times when we hear AI, we kind of have a runaway thought of, well, we might think of Skynet from Terminator, or we may know ChatGPT, which is a very hot topic that a lot of people like to discuss. So we really want to first and foremost educate not only the legislators, but the public on what AI really is, how it's been used in government and private sector. For the last, a lot of people don't understand that it's actually been around for about 15 years now in the capacity that people will think. So we're really just trying to educate first and foremost. And then secondly, on the backside, we want to make sure that we're putting up guardrails with kind of the ethics and the responsibility of anyone who's using AI, of, you know, making sure that we're not going far beyond our reach than we should, or putting ourselves in a jeopardizing spot as a society.
Can you explain a bit more your discovery process that you anticipate, the steps to understanding how AI is used in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So we actually have reached out to quite a few stakeholders that have been developing or working with AI over the last couple decades, including Google, Microsoft from the private sector, as well as we're looking at getting some of the public sector input as well, DOJ, maybe some crimes that they've seen that they've had to investigate that were conducted via AI-generated technology. So ultimately, we're trying to reach out to everyone who's anyone who wants to come and speak on AI, give us their input on it, both, again, people from the field expertise, as well as regular, you know, citizens across the state of Wisconsin that are willing to come and just voice their opinion on this.
When you announced overseeing the task force, you used AI to help write your press release. You said it there at the bottom. How else are you using AI in your work as a lawmaker?
So that was just kind of the little fun play with with what we have. So I thought I'd catch some eyes. But in general, that's the only way I've used it so far. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a trend in the future of individuals using AI to generate statements like that, not just legislators, but also companies. Or I've actually seen to the extent that social influencers have been generating certain content that they put out, which, you know, kind of puts you in this weird spot of who's saying what and is it really them saying it? So that's going to be one of the things we look at as we go forward with this task force.
But I'm thinking all of the outreach from constituents who are contacting lawmakers for a variety of different reasons. Do you see any role AI there in connecting with constituents and their concerns?
I could see an opportunity where we may have a system where if constituents are reaching out, it may get almost streamlined, where it's easier to just have who's reaching out, what they're reaching out about, and then having the representative be able to interpret, obviously, the mass influx of constituent outreach. So obviously, if there's a hot issue, we can, you know, AI might be able to smartly put it together in a way that's easily digestible for a legislator to go, oh, well, the public is against this issue, or they're strongly in support of this issue. We could see a lot of that. The other factor that we could see a lot more of is AI being used in other entities, other agencies within the state that may help speed up the process. I know one area that we've been kind of looking at just briefly so far is the Department of Professional Services and Safety, which has been regulatory with licensure. So If someone's having an issue with the process with getting their licensure, is there some system that someone can reach out to that is AI driven that goes, hey, where's my process? Where's the process at with my licensure? So stuff like that. We're trying to think outside the box. We're not trying to stifle innovation when it comes to AI and where we can use it, but we also want to make sure we're just being responsible when we're implementing it.
We're talking about this new task force to address AI in Wisconsin. With its chair, we have Representative Nate Gustafson of NENA. You can join in with your question and your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. This year, lawmakers in at least 25 states have introduced artificial intelligence bills, and in 15 states, legislation or policy has been adopted. That's from the National Conference of State Legislatures. Is Wisconsin behind the curve, behind other states in addressing AI?
I wouldn't say we're behind the curve. I think we're right on the edge with everyone else, with AI kind of being this emerging technology that we're really still trying to grapple with what it is and what its capabilities are. I think we're in the right spot at the right time to address this with legislation in Wisconsin. So I don't think we're behind at all. I think there's some innovative ideas that have been put out by these states already, but I think we'll be looking at those as well as we go forward in our task force.
But isn't it tricky, though, to strike a balance between putting up guardrails that you talked about, some limitations on AI, but still embracing technology to make, you know, to make an industry or to make state government more responsive?
Absolutely. It's going to be this very, very tight rope that we have to walk to make sure that, again, we're not trying to say that you can't use AI, or that, you know, the development of new processes with AI are going to be forbidden. But we also need to make sure that we're not creating something that's going to, completely destroy the way of life that we have today.
Turning to business here, Rockwell Automation, Milwaukee-based $32 billion company that offers AI products for manufacturers. And earlier this year, a company executive downplayed concerns that AI would replace manufacturing jobs. Do you agree with that viewpoint?
I think currently in our current spot, I don't think it would be a concern. I think when we look at this right now, a lot of people need to understand there's three types of AI, and this is where I'm going to get a little bit of the weeds. Hopefully I can pull it back for you. So you have your artificial narrow intelligence, your artificial general intelligence, and your artificial super intelligence. Right now we're at the ANI stage, where any sort of automation that we are putting out, such as what I would assume where Rockwell would be as well, is something that a human is capable of doing, but it's not to the point of replacing a human of doing it. So it's more of to be kind of an assistant to humans as they do their jobs rather than replacing them. So I think right now we're at a spot where I don't think that would be a concern.
Governor Evers also recently announced an AI task force focusing on workforce issues. Will these two groups work together?
I am more than open to hear obviously any ideas from any spot that's willing to share in this conversation. So we'll be listening closely. We'll be trying to collaborate where we can as this process goes forward.
So do you see some overlaps in what, you know, kind of a mere committee work would be doing on AI?
There may be a little bit, but I think we have a little bit more of a broader scope of what we're looking at. So in general, again, we're looking more on the private sector side, whereas I feel the governor's task force might be a little bit more on the public sector. So overall, we're just trying to put AI within a reasonable, you know, confinement, but also letting it flourish as it continues to be developed.
Republican State Representative Nate Gustafson with us of NENA chairs the Speaker's Task Force on Artificial Intelligence, and you can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share your thoughts on AI. The number is 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with the chair of the Assembly Speaker's Task Force on Artificial Intelligence, Republican Nate Gustafson of NINA leads a bipartisan committee gathering information that could inform AI-related policies and practices in the state. And you can join the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your views at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Wisconsin Watch is reporting that Democratic Representative Clinton Anderson of Beloit is drafting a bill that would mandate disclosure of AI in political ads. So looking at the political realm here, how important is regulating AI in political campaigns?
I think it's going to be critical. When people think of their representatives, they want to hear what their representatives are saying and what they're putting out. I applaud Representative Clinton Anderson for this legislation. It's definitely going to be a topic within our task force. I know he's actually on my task force with me, so I'm excited. Someone is as eager as him is on this task force that has already brought this idea forward. And I think we're going to have a lot of areas that we're going to look at when it comes to politics and elections and anything regarding that is based off AI, especially. Deep fakes is usually the big one a lot of folks hear about, is where someone may be scanned in saying something based off of, you know, clips that someone took and made AI generated, so it looks like the actual person saying it, but really it's not. So we really want to be careful. Again, it's always about trying to be the most ethical when it comes to implementing AI. And I think the bill that was presented by Rep. Anderson is going to be a good start.
Are you concerned about people impersonating other people and that type of those type of images and sound on social media?
1,000%. I have already seen it ramp up for the next election cycle, though it's usually typically higher profile individuals like presidential candidates. But I think it can be kind of the platform that will start kind of the ball rolling that will trickle down all the way to state races, local races, and we really just need to keep a kind of a beat on it obviously don't let it run away. So
yeah, the Brennan Center for Justice is concerned about AI being used in election interference and campaign disinformation. And so are you concerned about the growth of AI affecting Wisconsin's upcoming elections in 2024?
I think it's a valid concern to have. That's where it's really critical right now for us in this task force to come together, find ideas that will help mitigate a lot of the issues that we could see, such as Rep. Anderson's bill.
In April, Democratic Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed a bill that would prohibit AI in election machinery, like equipment used to count ballots or to check voter identities. And Hobbs said the bill attempted to solve challenges that they do not currently face in Arizona. Should AI be prohibited in election machinery?
I think it's going to be a very, very interesting topic that will come up in the task force regarding this. I'm not 100% certain. Let me be clear. I'm not going to take a hard stance on this because I'm not sure. I'm not sure what technology is out there. I want to see folks come forward with the information that they find with this. I would be initially cautious. I would say weary of such an idea, but we always need to keep an open mind when we're looking at this kind of technology.
What is the role of AI in building or defining voter maps and legislative boundaries?
That could be a very, very interesting topic as well. I think as we go forward, we're going to have to really figure out when we're using this AI. A lot of times what people need to understand too is AI is not running on its own. It's usually human inputted or it's human developed. And so when we get to that point, we're always going to know there's going to be someone who's altering the code or putting something in, so the AI will draw from a certain database or a certain area. So ultimately, in the beginning stages, as I mentioned in the previous segment about the three parts of AI that there are, we're in that first section. And so ultimately, we're going to have to ensure that while we're using that first section of AI, that we are being responsible and trying to be as non-biased as possible. I know there's a lot of legislation also. I want to kind of pivot this for you. Of the Civil Rights Act mm-hmm. of 1964. I've seen a lot of legislation coming out to ensure that there isn't any sort of discrimination that is implemented through AI. And so that will also be a very hot topic that we look at as we go forward.
And this year, a California lawmaker introduced a bill that would prohibit discrimination through the use of automated decisions in computer code, like deciding college admissions or worker bonuses. What is your reaction to that type of legislation?
Yeah, I think all options are on the table as we move forward here in Wisconsin. We really want to make sure that obviously the best and brightest are, in a college standpoint, are getting into our colleges here without a computer determining that. So I think right now it's definitely something we'll have to look at.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just can you foresee a day there would be proposed laws to protect against unlawful discrimination, like using algorithms to, as we talked about here in college admissions, or like in setting bail or distributing welfare benefits?
Yeah, we'll have to look at all the options that are laid out for us. I think without it, without even having the conversation, would be irresponsible of us.
Talking with Republican Representative Nate Gustafson, who chairs this new AI task force, Speaker's Task Force on Artificial Intelligence, as we look at the future of AI regulation in Wisconsin and the discovery process of this committee. You can join in at any point, call in with a question, share your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So looking ahead to midweek, the task force scheduled to hold its first hearing. Agenda includes comments by representatives from Google, Adobe, and the National Conference of State Legislatures. What do you hope to learn?
We are fully opening our ears at this point to hear how private sector is using AI and how they actually interact with government as well. So we know some of them may have contracts they work with state of Wisconsin. So we're really looking to hear how they interact with us, what they feel may be ethical from their standpoint, what they've seen as potential pitfalls that we may need to try to avoid in the future. So this is going to be the kickoff on Wednesday at noon in the Capitol building in the North Hearing Room. From there, we're actually doing a roadshow. We'll have three more hearings that are going around the state, one up in Green Bay, one up in at UW-Stout, and then one more back in the Madison area. So kind of stay tuned for those. We're trying to add a little maybe motif to each one. Obviously, this week is the big kickoff, so we really just want to lay the groundwork, lay the foundation of what this task force is going out and trying to accomplish.
And can Wisconsinites get involved in these hearings? Do you want testimony from citizens?
I want testimony from anyone who has any thoughts on AI. And I hope that not only do we have these organizations that are already coming to speak, I want to hear from the constituents at the end of the day. That's who I represent, not these corporations.
I wonder, I mean, should this be up to states, or should the federal government lead the way in AI regulation? You know, how do you see this?
I think you're on the right track where a lot of our ideas are going to go. Based off of my previous research I've done even before this point, is there's a lot that we can do on a state, but there's a lot more that we can do on a federal level. So at this point, we're going to do everything within our bounds that we can as a state, but it may be laying the groundwork and foundation for federal government to pick up. So we could kind of be the trailblazers, if you will, for the federal government to come by and maybe snag some legislation that we put out and make it a federal law.
What states are you watching? What states do you have an eye on that are enacting policies around AI?
So obviously one of the biggest states is where a lot of the tech companies are, California. Mm-hmm. So they're on the forefront of it all. So definitely watching California, watching some other, we're really looking at all the states. I know there was another one that was that had defined personhood, or the what a AI is.
Oh, wasn't that North Dakota, I think?
That was North Dakota, yeah. Yes. So we're kind of looking all over the board. We're open to all ideas, but I'm thinking that there could be opportunities that we could also put something out that hasn't been heard yet in any other state. So I'm excited for that.
You know, I mean, as we've been talking here, we've gone just like all over the map in the possibilities of AI. It's changing so fast, spreading so fast across business and industry, other facets of life. Is it possible this could be like a permanent working group to address AI matters, you know, within government and industry?
From my perspective, in my opinion, let me be clear, I would love to see this be integrated into a committee that is focused on AI and emerging technologies in our state, and go forward to ensure that we are staying on top of this rather than just a one-time task force.
Well, Representative Nate Gustafson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Kate. Appreciate it.
Republican State Representative Nate Gustafson of Neenah chairs the Assembly Speaker's Task Force on Artificial Intelligence. Its first public hearing is set for this coming Wednesday at noon. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.